Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Gentle Art of Crushing It show, where we focus on learning and sharing with our listeners all there is to know about how to create success in our lives. This show stands on the shoulders of giants. Our mission is to empower and inspire our listeners to create the life of their dreams whilst having a blast in the process. Let's celebrate life together. Welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the Gentle Art of Crushing It podcast. My name is Randy Smith, and I will be your host today. And I'm really excited to have Calvin Lowe with us today. Calvin is the founder of Peace Equity. He's a multifamily real estate investor and syndicator. And he's been in the medical profession for over 30 years, and he is the medical director of emergency transport team at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. He's also an associate professor of clinical pediatrics at USC. So, Calvin, welcome to the show. Really excited to have you here.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate the opportunity.
Outstanding. Well, let's jump in. Calvin, can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah. So, as you said, I'm a full-time emergency medicine doctor at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. This is my 31st academic year or so. You know, going along, you know, working hard, long hours, I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do for my retirement, right? I just need to accelerate my retirement. So I came along with one of my good friends, Steve Louie from Vertical Street Ventures. He got me into multifamily apartment investing as a passive investor about a couple of years ago. And it has actually grown into now being an active investor as a real estate syndicator with Peace Equity with my wife and I.
Fantastic.
And yeah, Peace Equity, just to tell you, it has special meaning for us because the first four letters of Peace represent the first initials of our family. So Peggy, Elizabeth, Austin, and Calvin. So we help others along their journeys, along their passive income of family, peace of mind, and generational wealth. So that's what we're doing at this point.
Are you interested in real estate investing but don't know where to get started or think you don't have the time or money? Are you stuck in your W-2 because the golden handcuffs make it hard to walk away? If this sounds like you, check out impactequity.net and schedule some time to talk with the founder, Randy Smith. Randy went from massive income to leaving his W-2 through passive income, and he can help you do the same. www.impactequity.net.
Yeah, very good. So that it's interesting to run into medical professionals in this space. And I know as medical professionals, generally, they're higher income earners, but they're also somewhat tied to the clock and very strong metrics that that activity is watched very closely to make sure that you're achieving efficiencies that need to be in place in the medical space. So what kind of challenges are there?
Yeah, you know, we have metrics that we have to perform to. Emergency department, it's all about efficiency, but we also want to do quality work, obviously, because we're dealing with life and death situations at times. But it's just the grind of working day in and day out, because we're expected to produce. You know, working 30 years, I've had times where as the medical director of the transport team, one of my jobs is filling holes in the schedule. So there'll be times where I'm working a 24-hour shift, followed by an emergency department shift, which is like, I had one stint, I was there for 72 hours straight. And I just I was expected to stay longer. And I told one of my nurses on the transport team, I just need to go home. I just need to go home to see my wife, my kids. And, you know, it was just so hard during that time because I thought, okay, well, it was like a yes man. I had to work more. I had to provide, thinking that I would work more, I would make more money, right? Because I had a big house at the time. Then what happens when you make more money? You get taxed more. And what was the net effect? It's not really much in terms of money or time. And all that time I lost, I could never get back. So that's why I went into space with multifamily real estate investing.
I love that. Yeah. So it ties, I love how you tie the name of your business to your family as well, because at the core, you know, we all certainly have aspirations and ambitions to become successful in our careers. But what I find more often than not is that after people reach a certain level of success and financial independence, the time freedom becomes a bigger and bigger piece of what they're striving for. And as an MD or as a doctor, I would imagine you guys are pushed to the limits even more just based on what you're sharing. So,
yeah, you know, it is, you know, I love what I do though. You know, don't get me wrong. I love going in with all the relationships I've, you know, made with the hospital, phenomenal people that work there, but I live in Southern California. So I have to drive 30 miles in and out because I Orange County to LA. And if you've ever been to Southern California, you know how at least, you know, if I have an afternoon shift ending at 2 to 3 o'clock, it's a good hour and a half minimum to get home.
Unreal.
And, and it's grueling. But I want to get to that point when we talk about freedom at a time where it's not when I have to work, it's when I want to work. So I think I would, you know, most likely will cut back. I don't think I can, you know, cut a cold turkey because, you know, I love what I do.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I think that's one of the big benefits of being in the real estate space, especially while you're still working your W-2, is once you get to a position where a large portion of your monthly expenses are covered by your passive income, then all of a sudden you have more choices and you truly do get to choose what you're going to do with your time. And if you love your job, fantastic. But it opens up doors and provides opportunities that you didn't have when you were a slave to the W-2.
You're absolutely right. It's just, I can foresee myself. People say, what are you going to do when you finally get to that point? I said, I have lots of things to do, I think, because stay active. Yeah, I want to stay active in the multifamily space. I love talking to people, you know, meeting folks, great people like you in the space as well. So I'm looking forward to it. It just, you know, it takes time. I'm still relatively new, but I know that just being humble and patient with what's going on, especially with the market, it's going as it is. It's always something on the horizon. You know, we were at Best Ever Conference, and one of the themes was always keep your eyes on the horizon because things, it's not about today, right? It's about 5 years from now. And, you know, property values are still going to be up. So there's always going to be something there that's going to be of value later on.
And I love that you mentioned that too. Like so many people, you know, we hear the Warren Buffett quote all the time, be greedy when other people are fearful and fearful when other people are greedy. And people are afraid right now. Right. And, you know, when we're looking at opportunities today and we're vetting them and going through a due diligence process, we're analyzing in today's market, but we're analyzing for an exit in 3 to 4 to 5 plus years from now. And, you know, if you look at any 5 year period of real estate values, more often than not, values increase over that 5 year period, certainly over 10 year period. So we're in a unique situation where we're betting on the future, and the future looks very optimistic when you really take a look at the trends. So,
the trends, we have history behind us. So where else could it go but up? Well, it can go anywhere, but the trend is going to go up. Yeah, there's always risk, right? When I talk to potential investors, there's always risk, but with real estate, as you know, it's more resilience and always less changes to market as time goes along.
Okay. Well, let's dig into the journey a little bit. Obviously, you've seen tremendous success in the career. And from what I understand, you have somebody very close to you that was also involved very heavily in real estate. And you took a little bit different path. But I'd love for you to share with the audience kind of that journey that you got to witness somebody else doing, and then what kind of steered your direction towards something different, even though it's in the same period. So if you could dig into that, that'd be great.
It's all about my mom. She's 90 years old. She's still active in the real estate space. She did it the hard way, but she's a hardworking woman. You know, she lived the American dream. She had 4 boys, all very successful, you know, 2 pharmacists, an attorney, and 1 world-renowned physician that I like to joke about, you know. You know, growing up, she thought real estate was the place to be in, and she was so right. When I was 6 months old, she bought a 4-plex in Huntington Beach, and she still has that darn thing, you know. So it's paid over so many, many years. I'll be frank. I'll turn 60 this year, so you can imagine.
Okay. Yeah.
You're right. So the thing was, you know, she was relied on the boys to go down and property manage, you know, all the rentals and things. She has up to 12 single doors right now, including a grocery store, which we actually grew up. We had a mom and pop grocery business. And so we were working there, and we had some 4-plexes, you know, just next to the store. And every time someone moved out, I was the only son that had to go in and, you know, hey, we need to get the tiles or the, or the paint or change the toilets and so forth. So I toiled in those hot summers and doing that, not understanding what was going on with this. I should be out playing with my friends or playing baseball and doing other things. But here I was changing all this stuff. But I came to appreciate that, you know, after all these years, because I'm like, wow, you know, mom did it right. But you know, there should be a better way or an easier way to do it. She finally got a property manager probably about 5 years ago for that place down in Huntington Beach. So my brothers, you know, getting them, they were going down there, you know, driving her and, you know, renting the place. And, you know, just got too much and finally convinced her to do that. And she just completed a 1031 exchange about 3 months ago. So she's still in it, right? She's still in it to win it, right? She knows all the strategies and so forth. So, and I was looking at that, gosh, it's got to be the easier way. Now, as I mentioned before, Steve Liu is one of my good friends I've known for years. We attended the same church, and he talked about relationships and trust and things like that. And when he first came to Peggy, my wife Peggy and I, about this, we're like, man, you know, we look back because we would have never gotten into the space unless you know somebody, right? And that's what we're trying to convey to some of our friends and some of my work colleagues. And jumping ahead a little bit, just one of my first races was a couple of years ago. And I had some residents, former residents, who come and call me and said, hey, Calvin, I'm really interested in this stuff. Because, you know, I trusted you to train me as a physician. Now I'm trusting you to train me as an investor. I'm like, wow. Okay, here we go. Wow. So that's a little pressure and all that. But, you know, I'm more than happy to, you know, do that because, you know, when you're investing, you're not investing. You are investing a lot of money, but you just want to make sure that when you do something like that, you vet the syndicator, you know, make sure the transparency and, you know, just be upfront with all the risk and what things can, that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's amazing too, to know that you were able to build trust through your relationships in the W-2 and the work that you were doing. And then that actually translates very well over into doing other aspects of your life as well. So what a neat story to hear about how your mom really kind of planted that seeds and you got to learn what it looked like to be an active investor all of those years and then make the decision to go down a slightly different path and still in line though with, you know, capturing and holding as much real estate as you can to grow generational wealth versus essentially just an active job that spits off income as well. And now you went through kind of a unique process where I believe you joined a community early on. Yes, you had the relationship with Steve, but you became part of a community as well around education and inspiration in the space, I believe.
Yeah, we hold a monthly meetup now. It's called the Passive Income Club. So some partners, host partners that we have that I met through the Berkeley Street Ventures Student Academy, all based here in Orange County and Los Angeles. So we hold monthly meetings once. We try to alternate between Orange County and Los Angeles to capture a larger audience because, again, California traffic, right? So, so we talk about many different aspects of – it's not just real estate. We talk about other means of asset classes. A couple months ago, we had some of my friends come over and talk about whole life insurance, cash value insurance policies, which is a great way, a great vehicle to – put money in. Next month in LA, we have a underwriter coming in to talk about that. So, you know, I think it's just trying to get all different aspects of passive income. So to learn about different things, to make sure that if you're going to invest in something, you're well informed. So it's all about, again, education, knowing your stuff, because you got to know what you're putting your money into, right? And to make it sure it's going to work.
That's great. And thank you for the service as well, because it is not an easy task to put on events every single month. It takes a lot of time, energy, and effort. And I've had a handful of events here locally as well. It just takes a tremendous amount of work. So, thank you for all the work you're doing.
My partners, because they're active and they want to do it. And, you know, we're all for that. It's just to help make it easier for other people, right? Because we've been, you know, in the rat race for so many years. And yes, I'm a little unique. I'm starting a little bit late, but it's never too late to learn or start. That'll be one of my messages from this, right?
Yeah, no, I look at it as well. Like you shared you're about 60. I will be turning 52 this year, and I didn't even know what syndication was until I was 45 years old. And I look at a lot of the younger investors that I see today, folks in their late 20s and early 30s that are already starting to put, you know, even if it's just $25,000 in their first investment, when you think about the power of, you know, $25,000 invested and then potentially keeping that in real estate for 30 years, like 25 turns into 50, turns into 100, turns into 200 in a relatively short amount of time. So it can be extremely powerful.
Yeah. One of my, after our first sale, my son, who just graduated from USC, and get played for that, as he's an accountant, he's a CPA. And he said, "I want to do this, Dad." And I said, "Wow, okay, it's your first $50,000. And I said, you're a sophisticated investor. This will make you an accredited investor sooner than you think." So
no doubt.
Just he has the accountant's mind, right? It's like it validates what we're doing. So he sees the value in that. So that made us feel better about going down this route and said, "Yeah, okay, let's do it."
Yeah, and good for you, Dad, for showing the same type of skills that your mom showed you, and really just kind of taking it to the next level as well. So he can go off and pursue his career while still building a very strong nest egg. So very good, very good. Well, I'd love if we can, if to talk a little bit about the markets, what you're seeing in the marketplace today. Clearly, the last couple of years have been, some would say, challenging. And we're potentially coming into a new phase or a new opportunity in this market. So curious what you're seeing and what your thoughts are about the current marketplace.
Yeah, you know, 2023 was just, like you said, was very, very challenging. You know, we didn't have many deals until late in the year. We partnered with Brian Briscoe on an opportunity in Salt Lake City. And that has, you know, it's been really great because, you know, like we were talking, alluding to earlier, you know, the market's sort of weird and down, but there's always opportunity out there. And that's where we're active in doing that. Because when they say people are scared to invest, that's the time to do it, right? We always say, when's the best time to invest? That was yesterday. Or, you know, don't wait to invest in real estate, invest in real estate and wait. So I think the momentum is picking up. I think now with all the different the interest rates, and I think about, okay, so we're going to have a couple more cuts or not, whatnot. Is it really going to stay alive till 25? People say 26 from what I gathered from Best Ever. But there's always going to be opportunity there. You just have to look for it and vet it well. I think underwriting is going to be much more stronger, more conservative, and the holds are going to be a little bit longer. And that's what we learned from what happened, you know, over the past couple of years, right? You know, no more bridge loans or rate caps and things like that. Try to get the other different loans that are available. So I think it looks good. You just have to keep looking to the horizon, and just there are always going to be ups and downs, honestly. And we just were caught in that market downside, but the cycle will go up, and just have to be optimistic, humble, and patient through this.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think at the end of the day, we're betting on jockeys. We're trying to find the right operators to part with. And you mentioned earlier about that due diligence process. I'm wondering, are there any specific questions that might be outside of the norm or something unique that you like to really dig into when you're vetting deals and vetting operators?
Yeah, a lot of it's track record too. Have they been through a downturn like this? I'm relatively new, so I want to partner with somebody who's been in for a while, who's been through the cycles and so forth. And you know, how they've done, you know, even in the lean times, they still turn a profit. It might be a single digit yield, but hey, it's better than zero or nothing, right?
Or negative,
So that's what I like to look for. And of course, you know, people, and I always tell people, if you're vetting a real estate syndicator, ask if they have skin in the game as well. Because if they don't, that's a big red flag, right? And, what Peggy and I do, every deal that we've been part of a GP raise, we always invest because we believe in the property. So that comes after talking to the operator and so forth, and just making sure that, trying to mitigate risk as much as possible. But there is going to be risk, but, the upside is always going to be there.
I love it. Yeah, I think the due diligence process on the operator in the deal is the single biggest skill that you need to acquire or continue to improve upon when you're in this space. You know, it's funny, you can go out to Google and do a search for questions to ask, and you could come up with like 500 questions to ask. But on the other side of that coin, you also need to be a good investor and a good investor partner as well. So, you know, I think it's a fine line. You definitely need to do your due diligence, but you can't be the squeaky wheel that's asking a million questions every other day to their investors as well. Because quite frankly, I want those guys working on my deals and like improving the assets to drive investor returns versus always having to answer all of my questions.
Right. And it's difficult because some people you don't know. Again, it goes back to relationships. I know Calvin for 30 years. I think he wouldn't do anything crazy, right? I was like equated to like I bought a new massage chair. How do you buy a massage chair? How do you research that, right? Everything's online. Where you go to Costco and it's just one brand and so forth. Fortunately, I did find a guy nearby. He had a whole showroom of different ones. I got to try them out. So that was my due diligence. The same thing if you're going to vet somebody in real estate, you have to really dig in deep and not just throw thousands of dollars in something, blindly.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea as well. Like you almost have to test it as well. So I'm curious, when you have an investor that comes to you, do you have strategies you suggest to them, or like, are you really trying to help them find that one perfect deal, or do you preach diversification? What kind of strategies do you share?
It depends on their age too, right? If there's someone like my age, I have something that's there for like a 10, 20 year hold. Yeah, that's probably something for your grandkids.
Sure.
Something a little bit more. Yeah. But one of the things, this is my wife, Peggy's avatar, is the uninformed spouse. What we make sure is that both partners are on the line with us before we even talk about a deal. Yeah, I'll say, let's talk about, passive income. I can show you some things. But if you're interested in a deal, I need your wife, I need your husband to be there.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. Because what's the number one cause of marital strife? It's money. It's finances, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't want to be a part of that. I said, I would rather not take your money if that's going to cause friction between you two, because we want happy investors and to go down that. So that's one of the big things from our side.
I think that's when you shared that over lunch at the Best Ever Conference, that really caught my attention. I've not ever met with somebody in this space that actually does that. And I will openly ask to have spouses on the call, but more often than not, that doesn't occur. But I joke with my investors that I don't want my name to be a bad name in your household. Like I want my name to be a good name, that you're excited about the things that we're talking about. So to have the spousal support and buy-in is so important. I've seen far too many relationships that go the bad direction because of financial problems, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now you're in a unique situation too, and I joke that it's kind of the unicorn that everybody's chasing, where you are a high income W-2 income earner, and your wife doesn't work outside of the home, so she can actually claim as a real estate professional. Can you talk about, and of course we're not CPAs and we're not giving any tax advice, but can you talk about how that strategy has helped you and your family and some of the benefits it's brought?
Yes. One of the reasons why we became active investors is because of the real estate tax incentives, right? So one of those is the real estate professional. You don't have to have a real estate license or anything like that. All you have to do is be active, accrue 500 hours of material hours, meaning that on the properties that you own. I think it's 750 in terms of total hours, which you can do, but are real estate related. And as we own real estate, there are a lot of passive losses through, rental property ownership. As a real estate professional, as you accrue those hours and qualify, those passive become active losses, and then you can actually write those off on your spouse's W-2. So the goal this year is that I wouldn't have to pay any taxes on my physician's salary. So you can just imagine, as we're high income earners, how much you have to pay so many years of taxes. Another bonus there, something I can, invest in something else and let that, steamroll or the avalanche or the golden hamster wheel, as they call it, right?
Snowball.
Do that. So, and we have the ideal situation because Peggy's a homemaker and she can accrue these hours because you have to work at least one more hour than your full-time job to qualify. I'm already working a gazillion hours. Can I do a gazillion one, you know, with real estate?
Right.
You know?
But, yeah. Well, that's amazing to be high income earner and not have to cut a check to the IRS at the end of the year. I had the situation when I left my W-2, I left about mid-year and was able to claim as a real estate professional that year. And my income, because I ended up selling a bunch of my single family homes, was probably my biggest income ever that year. And I think we paid less than 4% in taxes, federal taxes that year. So it's just from going from 37% down to 4%, what an amazing impact that made that year for sure.
See, I'm going to grow up to be like you, man. See?
There you go. Well, very good. Well, this has been fun. I was excited when I met you at Best Ever Conference. Of course, I mentioned that I saw you at Vertical Street Ventures Conference last year. You had a really great production and presentation of some Elvis impersonation skills. We won't get into that too much, but
it's called Elvis Tribute Artist. Okay, no, I corrected you during lunch too.
Okay, okay, very good. And I guess since we opened up the can of worms for the audience, there was a dinner event, and our very own Calvin Lowe came out and did a tribute, which was amazing in full garb.
Thank you very much.
It was a really fun experience. I love it. Well, very good. I think we've covered the items that I wanted to cover. Certainly, it was great, Calvin, to have you on the show. I do still have a few questions that I'd like to ask everybody before we wrap up, if you have just a couple of more minutes.
Sure.
Outstanding. Well, let's jump in. So, as you know, this podcast is geared towards the new or newer passive investor. So we really try to provide educational resources for them. And I'm wondering, is there any specific educational resource, whether it be a book or a podcast, that you would suggest to the newer passive investor?
Yeah, for my avatar, the healthcare professional, it's a book that's an offshoot of Rich Dad Poor Dad. I actually have it right here. It's by Dr. Tom Burns. You can see it there. It's called Why Doctors Don't Get Rich. And Dr. Burns, he also has the distinction of buying the very first published Rich Dad Poor Dad from a car wash. That's a trivia question, or the answer to a trivia question. But you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad is great, but this gives you a nice perspective from a doctor's standpoint or a healthcare professional's standpoint to where the grind, you know, the work, you know, why are we so unhappy, that type of thinking, where you can use the power of your money to, you know, go through passive income streams and to go from this. So I give this book to all my trainee fellows that come in every year. I say, here, just read it. You may not be ready, but I'm just planting the seed in your head that, you know, just make your life easier, because I've been through the wars. I've been through the battles. I know what it's like.
I love it. Yeah, I think that's amazing. Had you been given that book earlier in your career, you might not be in the W-2 at this point, or you might be working many, many less hours, I suspect, right?
Absolutely. I'd be interviewing you on my
soon enough, Calvin, soon enough, I'm sure. So, all right. Is there kind of a fun one? Is there a recent bucket list item that you've checked off your list, or one you're hoping to in the near future?
Well, you know, I've just been working so hard. It's funny because I like to do more traveling. I think my wife and I were just talking about Italy a couple of days ago. I'm just looking, you know, our daughter, you talked about how generations are different. She studied abroad in Switzerland. So she was there for a whole year. And one year we were going to Hong Kong and Japan. I said, let's compare how many countries we've been to, Lizzie. She's been to 30 and I've been to 7. I'm thinking there is something wrong here, right?
Yeah. Something, either that or something really right about what you're doing, Calvin. So
right. No,
congratulations.
That's yeah, I'm being selfish. My wife says, it's not about you, honey. I said, I know.
Good reminder. So more travel then. Are there any specific trips that you're especially excited about?
We're actually going to Cozumel with the kids in a couple months. So that's going to be really
cool. Fantastic.
My daughter just got married a couple of weeks ago. And then our son just got engaged. So it's going to be really cool that everyone's going to be together. It's really, truly a family event. It's a neat season for me because it's different as you go through different phases of your life, and I have adult children who are married or will be married, and it's really cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's
thank
amazing.
You.
All right. And then our final question, I like to ask everybody, if you had $100,000 that you had to invest in the next 30 days and you could not invest it in one of your own deals, where would you place that capital?
That's a good question. I would think, you know, one of the things I'm trying to learn about, you know, is all about education and thing. And one of the things I've really been intrigued with lately has been oil and gas, right? Because of the tax benefits of that, because you get that right up front. So that's just something on the top of my head right now. It's a little risky. I need to learn more about it. Need to vet that out. So either that or buy some stock in my beautiful Dallas Cowboys right there. So
there you go. There you go. I love it. So oil and gas is something, gosh, I've been dancing around for years and years. And now that I've got rep status, I don't need to chase that. But there's a lot of benefits.
If
you find a good operator and you're able to offset that W-2 income without having to do rep status. So,
That'd be nice. So,
Very cool. Well, Calvin, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I think you brought a ton of value to the audience. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rand. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Awesome. All right. And to the audience, as always, we encourage you to continue your education journey in the passive investing space. But more important than that, we encourage you to make a decision to invest in your first deal. Calvin and I are convinced that once you do, you'll wish you had started much, much sooner. So thank you again for joining today. And be sure to join us again next Thursday for another great episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. It was an amazing episode. We know we sure learned a lot, and we hope you did as well. We want to take a second and thank you so much for viewing or listening to this episode. And please just know that we only ask for one favor, and that is to make this life magnificent. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.